Support for this podcast is made possible in part by our members. Become a member of WNTI by visiting our ePledge page at WNTI.org.
Time for Value This with Ryan and Leon. Appraisal experts Ryan Kathanis and Leon Kastner are here to help you make sense of everything but the kitchen sink. Call in now with your really cool stuff at 877-41-VALUE. Now, here's the experts.
And welcome to Value This with Brian and Leon. I'm Leon.
I'm Brian. I can prove it with my driver's license. Can you prove it with your driver's license?
I have a photo ID. Yes, I
do.
Do
you really?
Do
you use it often when you get proofed in going to the movies, get senior discounts, and go to the restaurant for early bird specials?
No, I get proofed when I go into a liquor store.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You still do?
I still do.
That's because you're a young, handsome guy.
That's right.
All right. Well,
I think they're also required to proof everybody now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You should bring somebody else's license in and see what happens.
That's true.
Just to try it, just to see if you'd get by.
I haven't had to show it for my senior citizen discount.
They instantly know you're over whatever it is.
I think they're afraid to ask people. You know.
Oh,
If you are, you know,
on the border, kind of.
Yeah, and if you say I need a senior citizen discount, you know,
they're not going to push
it. I don't
think
you want to argue with senior citizens.
Well, don't you wear your shirt
that says I'm a senior citizen?
Now,
no.
Give me my discount?
No.
Give me my discount. That's great. Well, I was thinking about driver's license because if you had Frank Sinatra's driver's license and sold it, you might get as much as they got for it when they sold it just a couple of weeks ago for
$15,000.
$15,000. Frank Sinatra's driver's license. But Dan, our summer engineer, you put this together. Dan, you said that they made a mistake and it was spelled wrong. Is that correct?
That is correct. They said his last name was spelled totally wrong.
Yeah, like they left the A out. It was like Frank Sintra instead of Frank Sinatra. So there could have been a guy in Hoboken named Frank Sintra, and it's not even his license. it's a typo. That's why it's worth 15 grand.
Imagine him getting stopped, and they go back, and they're trying to type it in.
And it's wrong. And they arrest it. He just called his mobster buddies, and he'd be fine.
Now, wait a minute. That wasn't the only driver's license he had.
No.
Because it's probably reissued.
Right, every couple of years.
I wonder how many driver's licenses he actually had.
Well, I imagine the auction company that sold this didn't say, and by the way, this is probably one of dozens.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sure it was
brought almost $16,000.
$16,000.
Old Blue Eyes. That's it. Mm. Thank you, Dan, for that little bit of history there, too.
You know, I wonder about, because he had to probably go in to renew his driver's license.
Right.
Unless his people did it.
Yep. Yeah.
But, you know, what about the other documents you need to sign for the driver's license? I wonder if somebody was smart enough to keep all that stuff or go in the back, I'll be right back, and make a photocopy.
There you go. That's good. That's great. There's a famous picture of him with one of those placards in front of him. He was arrested for something at some point in his life. Hangs in a lot of restroom bar restrooms around. For some reason, sits there. Good. All right. So if you have a driver's license, if you've been recently arrested, give us a call, and you got a good mugshot, and you want to value it, we'll figure out what's going on. The number is 877-41-VALUE. Get on the line. Get on the air with us. If you want to reach us another way, go to the web, valuethisradio.com, and you'll find a ton of information on Facebook. Just go to Facebook and look up Value This.
Hi, you're on Value This with Brian Leon. Who's this?
Hi, this is Judy from West Caldwell.
Judy, West Caldwell. That's New Jersey, right?
Yes, it is.
I mean, I knew that, but a lot of our listeners don't know.
Don't you have a kid in West Caldwell or somewhere thereabouts?
I have a daughter that lives in Caldwell down near the Cabrini College. Is it
Caldwell College.
Well,
which
Cabrini
is actually now Caldwell University.
No, okay. Get out of town. Really?
Really?
So you pay more taxes now then, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Good. So what can we help you with today?
Well, I have some glass pieces that we found in my mother's stuff.
Okay.
And we don't think she used them, but we think she picked them up at a garage sale or a flea market and thought they were valuable.
I got it.
But we have no idea.
Yeah, well, they're probably not. But ask Leon.
Probably not, yeah.
Well, describe them to us.
Well, I did send you some pictures.
Okay, I'm pulling them up right now.
Okay, but let our listeners know because they can't see our pictures because we're still radio.
One is a set of cream and sugar pitchers.
Okay. Nice.
And I have two sets of them. They have some kind of flower design with some leaves on it.
Okay.
What color are they? Is that
yellowish?
Yellowish. And now those flowers, do they look like they've been cut or marked
in? Yeah, they
in?
Look like they've been cut into the glass.
Okay. And they're in kind of a white color because it's been cut in, acid etched into the glass, right?
Yes.
Okay. And it's kind of a yellow. And then you have something else that looks like it?
I have something else that looks a bit like it. It's a pair of candlesticks.
Right.
And what I thought was strange was that the candlesticks on the base, which have that same vine design as part of the flower, also have like a crisscross etching also into the glass.
Hmm. And you also have one piece that actually matches them, which looks, it's a bowl, right?
Yeah, it is the strangest looking bowl I've ever seen.
It's like an inverted hat, right?
Yes.
That actually goes with the candlesticks. That's a three-piece console set, and that bowl was to sit in the middle of the table or a sideboard, and then the candlesticks were to sit on each side of it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and it was like a fruit bowl in the middle, and then you put your candlesticks next to it. Three-piece console set. Now, what you have, and that also is colored, right? Kind of.
Yes, it's kind of yellowish.
That you have depression glass.
Wait a minute. I got a question about that.
Yes.
Because I thought depression glass was done very quickly and very cheaply, and it's all pressed glass, and it looks like it's etched as opposed to being really etched.
She has what we call elegant depression glass.
Really?
There is another category called elegant depression glass, which means that they it was a little fancier.
No kidding.
Your cutting on your pieces was actually done by hand and not in a machine. So someone actually cut the little flowers and those little crisscross designs on it. And it was a little. It was like up a grade, and so you can find books, popular books on. You want to look for elegant depression glass. You'll be able to find the pattern and find out the company that made it. Now I'm surprised that in the bottom you said there's no markings on the bottom.
Correct.
I'm surprised it doesn't have a little triangle with the letter C. That was the name of the Cambridge glass company, because they made things very similar to this. Now, if you find one of these books, I'm sure you'll be able to match up a pattern and the company that made it. And we're probably talking something from 1930 to 1940 in that range. Now, depression glass was real popular maybe 10 or 20 years ago.
Yes.
And it's since seemed to have fell off in demand. But I'd still think your console set, your bowl, and those two candlesticks, that still should be between $100 and $200.
Oh, okay.
Whereas the cream or sugars, they're going to be less, probably down to the $30, $35 range. So, but they're still nice. And I think you can do a little further work on your own and then get the exact
I had looked
on
eBay or whatever, and I had never seen anything that looked exactly like it.
Well, go for elegant depression glass. It puts it in a different category.
Okay, that's for the bowl and the candlesticks. But I think that the cream and pitcher looks like there's two halves of it. I can see like a seam line on
Yes, but the pieces themselves are molded and pressed. Oh. But it's that design, that little flower design, that was put in later. That was cut on after it was done.
Ah, okay.
So that's why we call it elegant. It is it's still depression glass, but it's a step up because there was a hand process involved. So that makes it a little more desirable.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Good
thank
deal.
You
hey,
so much.
Well,
good
thank
news.
You, Judy. We appreciate you calling.
Bye now.
All right, you be well. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Very interesting. All right, another call?
Another call. Hi, you're on Value This with Brian and Leon. Who's this?
This is Gwen from Great Meadows, New Jersey.
Great Meadows, New Jersey. Now, is that South Jersey or North Jersey?
That's North Jersey, just a little south of Hope.
There's Great Meadows in North Jersey. There's a flat area in North Jersey. Do you have dark dirt there, like they grow vegetables?
Two things. There are vegetables and sod.
Ah, there you go. That's good.
Okay.
So you're
get black.
There you go. Good deal. So, Glenn, how can we help today?
Well, I have an interesting table that's not quite an antique. It was there was only 100 of these made, and the front drawer is an eagle carved from a piece of the USS Constitution, old Ironsides.
Got it.
And who made the table itself? Do we know?
Burke Berkeley and Gay.
Oh, Berkey and Gay.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Berkey and Gay was a company out of Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Right.
And they started in the 19th century on up into the middle of the 20th century. They were considered a pretty good furniture company, but it was mass-produced furniture. Now, so you have a table. Does it have a drawer?
Yeah, this is a small foyer table. It's about 30 by 24, a couple feet high, like 3 feet high. And it has the medallion inside that testifies it was one of the 100 tables made from the USS Constitution.
Cool. Now, does it have a date on it? Are we talking like 1950, 60, something like that?
No.
Earlier?
These were made around 1929.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I'd have to take another look at the metal plate itself if it's dated or not, but that's it's circa around 1929, so about 85 years old.
Okay. That makes sense because during that period, we call it the Colonial Revival period.
Right.
And people were the furniture companies were making things that looked like older American pieces from 1760 and 1770, and so we call it Colonial Revival. So you have a table that is kind of a cross between an old tavern table and a lowboy, which would have been pieces of furniture from 1760, 1780.
Right.
But they made the drawer in it, and then on the surface of the drawer, for some reason, they got a whole bunch of wood from the Constitution, and they were able to carve an eagle and apply it to the front of it, right?
Right.
Brian, anything on that?
Well, you know, a table just like yours showed up on the Antiques Roadshow about 8 years ago, and it was one of these 100s, and the appraiser was a guy named Brian Witherell, and he claimed that the range on this was in the area of, you ready? Like they do on the Antiques Roadshow.
Yes, right.
They make you wait. Between $1,000 and $1,500. Now, I think that's a little, and the guest responded with, uh-huh, you know. But
wasn't too excited.
Apparently. But I think
that's
high.
I think that's high, too.
I would agree. I think we're probably talking in the $450 to $500 range, but Leon knows way more about furniture than I do.
Well, I think if it didn't have the eagle on front, I think we're probably dealing with a $300 piece of furniture from the 1930s, 1920s, 1930s,
mm-hmm.
which isn't bad. But it's got the eagle on the front. But I think the problem is with the USS Constitution, I think they've been redoing that ship forever, haven't they?
Yeah, and there's
don't
a
they keep taking wood off
huge
of it?
A guy named Isaac Hull, who was the commander of that in the 1830s, took a ton of wood off. And every time they redo her, they pull more wood off and somebody buys the wood and they make furniture out of it. So there's a lot of wood with Constitution on it, so it's not as rare as people think. Even though they made 100 tables, they probably made 100 dressers and another and 100 closets and 100 table, you know, stands.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a great piece of American history, and I'm so glad you have it.
Yeah, that's nice. But again, I would agree with Brian that probably the $500 range is better than a $1,500 range on it. But it's a nice looking piece, right?
The one that you're talking about looked like it was in pristine condition, and mine does have a little damage on it.
Yeah.
If you looked at the picture I sent,
yep.
The scroll under the drawer on the left side,
little chewed up, huh?
Broken off.
I see that. Yeah, right. I see that.
Well, it'll hurt a little bit, but I still think you're good, and you got a great piece, Glenn. And I wouldn't put it out into the sod fields, you know.
Okay.
Good deal. Well, thanks for listening, and thanks for giving us a call.
Thanks, Glenn.
Okay.
You be well.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A lot of commemorative pieces like this, aren't there, out there?
You're exactly right. They probably got a deal on the wood and decided, how's the best way to market it? And so that's how they did it.
Yep.
Interesting piece, though, yes.
Very good. Yeah. Isaac Hull, the guy who brought the ship in the 1830s. Mm-hmm. Hey, more Value This When come back, so don't go away.
You're listening to Value This with Brian and Leon. Call toll-free 877-41-VALUE and talk about what's in your attic or your basement. Back with more right after this. Call toll-free 877-41-VALUE if you want to talk about the fascinating world of antiques and collectibles. It's Value This with Brian and Leon.
We're back. Value This with Brian and Leon.
Are we in the second segment already?
Yes, we are.
Really?
Wake up.
I should be on the ball. I should be reading copy.
Absolutely.
And all that kind of stuff, which
yes,
I haven't been doing. It's wrong. It's just wrong of me because I didn't let people know that Support for Value This comes from your local public radio station and from Collector Pro Software, Antiques Edition, software and services to the art and antique community since 1992. Track, sort, archive, and manage your prize collections with Collector Pro. Learn more at collectorpro.com.
That was very sneaky, Brian.
Yeah,
very
sneaky.
Got
it in there, huh?
In there, yes.
I know. I know. What we need is a better producer to tell me that I should be reading this stuff. I'm getting a look from John. We're going to have to buy him lunch, dinner, and breakfast next time. There we go. And Dan's just a little long for the ride writing down, Brian made another mistake.
Yes.
Revision my report at the end of my summer.
Well, you could always give us a car.
Yeah. There you go. Good deal. All right.
Okay.
So what are we doing?
Let's go to the call.
All right.
The number is 877-41-VALUE. And check us out online at valuethisradio.com.
Hey, you're on Value This with Brian and Leon. Who's this?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Stu.
Hey, Stu, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania.
Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, right along the Delaware River there?
Are you in East Stroudsburg or in Stroudsburg?
Stroudsburg.
I have no idea why they made an East and a regular, because it's not, neither one is big enough.
Oh, know? That's true. That's great.
But Stu, why did they do that, Stu? Do you know?
I have no the division there. The division line would be the Broadheads Creek. So East Stroudsburg's on the easternmost part of it, I would guess.
Okay. And how come they called the university East Stroudsburg instead of Stroudsburg? Because it was on that side of the creek, right?
I don't know. Who knows what the wisdom is in some of these colleges nowadays.
That's right. I was thinking colleges. Take our money. Take our children's money. What's the matter with them?
And you're done now, aren't they? They're done taking your money?
I just say how many university stations used to carry us up until today.
But your son's a graduate.
Yes, we stopped pushing BMWs off the cliff every semester. Yes, and now we can start saving some money. No, I think higher education is outstanding and important and excellent. Get a job, boys.
That's right.
So, Stu.
What do you got?
Oh, we got a caller on the line. We forgot all about Stu.
Right. Stu, what do you got? Stu, what
Hello?
Do you
get? Yes.
What do you got? Stu, you're not, well, Stu, you're not supposed to.
Stu.
Hey, Stu.
What?
You're not supposed to fall asleep when you're talking on the show. We can do that, but you can't, okay?
I just didn't want to interject.
Okay.
Thank you.
So explain what you got again.
Okay, I have an ice cream parlor booth. I'm guessing it's probably 100 years old. It's cherry veneer. And what it looks like, it's four pieces where you have a back panel that goes up against the wall, then you have two benches that connect to this back panel, and you have a table that also connects to the panel with one leg. It also has a coat, like a little post that attaches to it that would be where you hung your coat or put your hat.
Got it.
And you guys are old enough, and you remember the Bowery Boys and the ice cream place that they used to go to. Well, this is something that you probably would have found in there.
Right, right.
I was wondering why you connected it with ice cream parlor rather than a regular restaurant or a diner.
Luncheonette. Yeah.
And that's why, because you remembered them going in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
You know, by the way, I go to an ice cream parlor in Stroudsburg once in a while. They have a nice one right there. But I don't think they had room for something like this in theirs.
Hmm.
So, and now you don't actually know where it came from, though.
Well, the family probably had it, and I think it was picked up at an auction.
Right,
I would like to say it came out of Dempsey's Bar and Grill, the Fighter, or something like that, but no, I don't.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the key on something like this in terms of it having a little more value is the provenance behind it, that someone can actually attach it to a certain location. And so, for example, you know, if it did come out of Dempsey's or it came out of a prop set for the Bowery Boys, or it came out of a specific town, a store in Stroudsburg, I think that actually adds double or triple the value on this. But when you don't have that, it's kind of interesting and neat, but I don't think the value for something like this is going to run more than $200 or $300 unless you have that provenance.
Right. Brian, if we knew this was the booth out of the Seinfeld set, you know, or like you said, or the Bowery Boys would be like perfect. Or it, like Leon said again, came out of a local place. So I would agree with Leon. Have you found anything on it, Stu? Have you been able to find anything about a value?
I've done some research on a computer, and I haven't found anything that looks like this.
Yeah.
They do have ice cream parlor booths and so on. I'm calling it ice cream parlor.
Yeah, I hear you.
It may be from a restaurant, but it's really the dimensions of this is about 5 foot for that back panel.
Right.
And about 3.5 out from the back panel for your benches. So it's almost like it's set up for like two people, not like a whole family sitting down or four people. So
right.
It's
the short.
Where I get like the quaintness of like two people sitting down at an ice cream parlor.
Yeah, it's kind of the short booth too. So, if there was a whole set of them and someone could redo an old luncheonette in that style, but there's one of them. And so I think Leon's right. I think more than $200 would kind of be pushing it, but it's an interesting piece, and we appreciate your call.
Well, thank you, guys, and good to hear your show.
Great. Okay. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Take care.
What I'm thinking is I know when I was a kid growing up, and in the 1950s, we had a house that had a knotty pine kitchen, which is like the pine wood.
Yep.
And we had a dinette set where we used to sit and eat our meals just like this.
Yeah, yep,
you know, it was kind of like the old booth in a diner, made out of wood, and it was popular for a while, but then it lost favor.
I mean,
and people in their houses now, they don't want this.
Sure. No,
so
I think you're right.
I'm thinking something like that, the best thing might be to salvage the wood.
Oh, turn into something else?
If it was cherry, you might be able to use that wood for something else.
I always said it was veneer tube. Still not bad, though. So there you go. All right. Where do we go next?
Okay. Got another
call? What should we do, John?
Great. Oh, my. I got to
flip your pages.
My pages.
Get to the right state. We did Washington last week.
We did Washington, so let's do another very West Coast state.
Okay, not many out there.
Well, we're talking
Oregon, California?
We're talking far west.
Oh, Hawaii?
Hawaii.
That's very
Hawaii.
Far west, isn't it?
Yes,
nice.
Hawaii.
We should go there for a trip.
Yeah, we should do a show there.
We should do a show there, and we
should
write it off.
We should do all our shows there,
Write it off.
There you go.
Well, on location in Hawaii, in Waikiki Beach, Leon is out on a surfboard.
That is a great idea.
Paramedics are standing by.
Okay, let's get the plans together for next year, okay?
Okay, good deal. We'll do
you know that Hawaii is the only state in the United States that grows coffee?
Seriously. Wow.
They grow a lot of coffee, and no other state in the U.S. grows coffee.
Wow.
They grow something else more than any other state in the U.S. You know what that is? Yes,
pineapples.
John,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you're right. Pineapple.
I'm sorry, John. I didn't see your hand go up.
John,
I'm sorry.
So disappointed.
Okay.
John, you wouldn't have got a flashlight, the pen anyway, so don't worry.
I'm sorry. Pineapples.
They produce over 320,000 tons of pineapples.
Really?
Now, when I was in Hawaii visiting.
You went there?
Yeah, I went there. Beautiful.
Look at you.
Beautiful place.
You must have a lot of money.
Beautiful place. And we were driving in the country, and there's these fields of pineapple, and it never occurred to me that pineapple grow like carrots in the ground. I always thought they grow like in a tree, like coconuts.
Oh, okay.
But they grow on the ground.
Underground, but they're above the ground.
They grow right above the ground.
Right. Nice.
Fields and fields of pineapple.
Did you get like fresh pineapple? That must be really
pineapple. No, I didn't do that.
Did you kind of run out of your car and just chop one up?
No, I didn't.
No? Get shot at? No. Okay.
They probably also have the world's most unusual chicken coops in Hawaii.
And why is that?
Because all their cars, the cars that are... you know, no good anymore, salvage cars, they can't do anything with them. There's just not enough room there they wouldn't have scrap yards. So people use them in your yards, and they use them for...
They do not.
They do so.
We're going to get calls from the Hawaii Chamber of Commerce telling them that you should go here. 50th state.
Okay, but they also have the world's biggest telescope.
Oh.
It's on the big island of Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's at the Mauna Kea Observatory.
Nice.
And, you know, there's a lot of islands.
Yes, there are.
In Hawaii.
Yep.
The island of Molokai
has
no traffic lights.
Seriously?
None whatsoever.
Really?
But here's the biggest thing. When measured east to west, it is the second widest state next to Alaska.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Because there's so many islands. They're not just five islands. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
So you measure it from east to west, second
a lot of water in between
in the U.S.
That's very good. Well, that's excellent.
So
I like that.
So you know more about Hawaii than you ever wanted to know.
Excellent. Well, that's great.
But you ought to go sometime, and I think we ought to do our show there.
I think that's an excellent idea. All right. We're in.
Okay.
Dan's good. Shaking his head. Our summer engineer thinks he's going to Hawaii.
Yes,
yeah. Fat chance there, Dan. You'll be lucky to get lunch, my buddy. All right, let's go back to the phones, okay. All right?
Here we go. The number is 877-41-VALUE, and check us out online at valuethisradio.com. Hi, you're on Value This with Brian and Leon. Who's this?
Hi, this is Debbie from Regalsville, Pennsylvania.
Regalsville. That's near Quakertown, isn't it?
Yes, it is. In fact, I'm in Quakertown right now.
Oh, okay. Quakertown is, what, 30 miles north of Philadelphia?
Correct. That's about right.
Something like that. Good.
Yes.
And that's our geography lesson for today. Thank you for tuning in to the Value This Geography Lesson. The state of Pennsylvania is here to serve you. Yes. Okay.
So Debbie, what have you got for us today?
Okay. So I have a tea set. I have no idea where it came from. I was cleaning my attic, and I happened upon this. It looks to be from the 60s based on the lady's picture that's on the front. And it's metal, kind of shiny silver metal. And it looks, I don't know. I guess there's two teapots, a creamer, and a sugar bowl. And it has what looks to be like Eastern European writing on it. So, of course, it's really hard to do a search because I don't know what I'm reading.
Mm. And there was no paperware that came with it, like an invoice or anything?
No, there is an invoice. It's written in what looks to be, again, Eastern European, Russian. And I don't quite know what it says, but it looks like it's stamped as if it was coming through customs or something. But it's really, I'm really at a loss. I can't understand the language.
Okay.
Got it. Now, but it's in the box, right?
It's in
absolutely.
The,
yes.
And now, you said it had two teapots. Are they exactly the same or different?
They are different.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, one of them may be a coffee pot.
That's
one
right.
Of them
there
has
you
a,
go. Yep.
A long stout. One of them has no stout, just
right.
A very tiny stout.
Usually the squattier one is a coffee pot, and the taller one is the teapot.
Okay.
Now, does this, about how tall are they, the teapot and coffee pot?
About 4 inches.
That's kind of small. Does this look like a child set, or does it
no,
look...
No, it's definitely not a child set. That's what I thought at first, but it's probably a two-cup teapot and
okay.
A two-cup coffee pot.
Okay. It wasn't like an early Keurig, right? Don't think so.
No.
No. Now, the metal itself, is it very thin metal? Kind of describe it to us.
Well, it doesn't feel like it's silver, but it's more substantial than, say, a tin. And then there's etched flowers on it, and the bottom has kind of like a nubby texture. So, I mean, it's really very nice. I'm so curious where I acquired this and why I didn't know I had it.
Is it heavy? I mean, relatively heavy?
It is probably, I'm holding the coffee pot, it's probably about 6 ounces or so.
Okay. Okay, and again, this is in a box, and the cover of the box has what looks like a 1960s James Bond girl on the front, right?
Absolutely.
She's got the high hair and, you know, a puffy blouse, and then it has the name plus, but of course, it's either written in Russian or Croatian, or, well, then it would be probably Czechoslovakian. Okay. Hmm. Was there anything on the bottom, like if you picked the teapot up and you saw any markings on it?
Negative.
Okay.
Totally clear.
Okay.
Nothing.
If this, I don't think this was a set that they would use at the Russian tea room. Okay. This is not that good. And again, if you have a piece of Russian silver, good Russian silver, they mark their pieces with actually a unique mark, which is a unique number, which is the number 84. Whereas in the rest of the world, like, uses 925 as sterling silver. Sometimes you'll see a 900. But in Russia, they use 84. Now, so that this doesn't have this. So it's probably just a gift set that was more of a everyday type thing. And I think at best it's silver plate. It could even be chrome. But I don't think it has a heck of a lot of value. But I do like the box.
Okay.
And I think that box has a little bit of memorabilia nostalgia to it, because
right.
We're talking about something from 60s and something that was imported from Europe when it, undoubtedly whatever country made this maybe not exist or it may have different boundaries today.
Come on, wild guess now. Come on, Leon. You're stalling, man.
Well, I'm guessing the value.
I got a number.
You got a number.
Yeah.
I was thinking 50, really? 75.
What I was thinking 35 to 50.
Okay. Well, then we can agree with 50. Okay.
Yeah.
35 to 75.
There
right?
you go. 35 to 75. Big range.
So
35.
I'm not retiring anytime soon, and
no.
I have nothing of value in my whole house.
Oh, no. I was thinking 35,000 to 50,000. When I said 35 to 50 is what I was thinking.
I was actually thinking of taking this the next time I visit my daughter. I'm actually originally from Brooklyn, and there's a pretty heavy duty. Eastern European population there.
Get
so
it translated.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. But I if it were marked 84 and it had a Fabergé mark on it, I think Brian's absolutely right. 35 to 50,000 would have been the number. Actually, maybe I would have been closer to the number, probably been 75,000.
Yeah.
There you go.
This is just not meant to be. I'm not going to find my riches today, but
yeah.
I appreciate you giving me the information.
All righty. Good deal. Well, thanks so much.
For calling.
All right, you be well.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I didn't know you were an expert in that. Well, of course, I wasn't much of an expert either on that.
But it looks more, I don't think it's real silver. Looking at the rivets that they put together,
yeah,
they look
no,
like
it's
cheap
not
handles.
Silver.
It's probably, you go visit.
It looks like something you buy at the 5 and 10,
it's a
almost.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a tourist item. You go visit right. and off you go. Because if there was a custom stamp on it, someone brought it back as a souvenir. You know?
Interesting.
So, who knows?
Interesting.
Good deal. Well, that was good. You did good, Leon. I thought that was excellent. For someone who didn't know anything about it, we did okay. All right. Here's the deal. You ever want to reach us? You can reach us at theuglyguys@brianandleon.com. Drop us an email. Better yet, go to Facebook. Go to the Facebook site and look for Value This with Brian and Leon, or search for that. And you can follow us there. We put something up at least once a week. Or you can go to our regular website.
They can also call us.
Yes.
877-41-VALUE.
That's the number?
That's the number.
And they'll get us?
They will get, yes.
Good.
877-41-VALUE, value.
Good deal. All right. What do we do now?
Okay. Well, we got, in the next segment, we got Stumpers coming up.
Really?
We'll take more calls.
Uh-huh.
And everything. And I've got something I wanted to share with you in terms of, I wanted to go over the 9 most completely worthless collectibles.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's great. We're going to get some lawyer letters out of that one, aren't we?
Yes.
That's good. And you can give us a call at 877-41-VALUE. We got lots of stuff coming up. And, and Dan is going to, Dan DeRizzi, our summer engineer. Is it Dan How the Yankees Doing? DeRizzi, is that your new nickname?
I guess that works. You want to do that? That's fine.
Is that the
me.
One that you wanted?
I thought that was pretty cute.
Okay. Usually we make them up
since,
for you. But
since he's got a Yankees hat, a Yankees shirt,
yep.
Yankees pants.
Yeah, that's
Yankees
right.
Yankees armband.
He's got the Yankees socks. I see he's wearing his Yankees socks.
God,
not
me.
Wearing cleats, though. No cleats
I'll
today,
I'll tell you,
too.
Dan, just for you today, I'll have my quote of value this quote of the week will be from someone from the Yankees.
No kidding.
I'll do that. I think
really?
I'll get one from Derek Jeter. Derek
you
Jeter
think so?
Is
we'll
just
find a
Yeah,
a Derek
I've
Jeter?
Got a Derek Jeter quote.
Really? He's all excited now too.
I
we don't have
said,
to buy him lunch if we're going to do a Derek
that'll
Jeter quote.
That'll keep him awake the third segment, won't it?
There you go. All right, so get on the line with us and be part of the show, and we'll be back in just a little bit with more Value This with Brian and Leon.
You're listening to Value This with Brian and Leon. Call toll-free 877-41-VALUE and talk about what's in your attic or your basement. Back with more right after this. Call toll-free 877-41-VALUE if you want to talk about the fascinating world of antiques and collectibles. It's Value This with Brian and Leon.
We're back again. Value This with Brian and Leon.
Taking your calls at 877-41-VALUE.
Let's go right to the phones, okay?
Let's go right to the phones, yes.
I know I said we were going to go over the 9 completely worthless collectibles.
Oh, yeah. Should we do that? Should
no.
we go over them?
Let's go to the phone first.
Because people are waiting.
Yes.
Good.
Hi, you're on Value This with Brian and Leon. Who's
yep.
this?
Yep.
This is Matt. I'm from Norman, Oklahoma.
Norman, Oklahoma.
Good. Norman, Oklahoma. Absolutely. Excellent. Cool. How can we help today?
Well, I have an oil painting that I wanted to find out a value for. It is an oil painting owned by me and my brothers and sister.
Nice.
It used to be my mom's.
Oh, I see. Oh.
So when your mom passed away, she gave it to all of you?
Well, yes. She passed away, and we all got it.
Oh, great.
So how do you do this? Do you each take turns hanging it over your mantle or what?
No, we sort of leave it with my sister. She's the most trustworthy one of us.
She doesn't drink, right?
No, she doesn't.
There you go. That's good.
But if you want to borrow it, then you have it worked out so you can take it to your place and hang on to it?
Yeah, but I don't have a place nice enough to put it. Uh-huh.
So how many of you own this then?
There are five of us.
Five of us.
Nice.
Yep. You know, that's in our own terminology when we're appraisers, we call that a fractional appraisal because if you ask me to do an appraisal on it, but there's five of you that own it, then you would own about a fifth of its value and maybe even less than that. It's technical. But if someone doesn't own a majority portion of an item and you own less than the majority, you don't have control over it. So you actually own less than what numerical fraction is. So you probably own like 15% of that thing.
Well, if it's five people, Leon, it's 20%.
Well, but they own a little less than that. That's
right,
my point is.
Right, because it's a fractional interest because.
Exactly.
Yeah, and no one's going to pay. If let's say the painting is worth $1 million, let's say the painting is worth $1. Theoretically, everybody owns 20 cents worth of that, too. But if you're not willing to give your 20 cents or your 20% of it up,
that's right.
Then the other family can't sell it, so it's worth less than that, as Leon says. But we're not going to worry about that.
We are all in agreement on what we want to do with it. We're looking to sell it.
Got it.
Okay.
As one piece of art.
Good.
Okay.
We're not going to cut it up in little pieces?
Cut it into fifths.
Good call. Okay. Good call.
So kind of describe it for us, okay?
It is an oil painting. It was done by an artist by the name of Charles Banks Wilson. It was done, he painted it as part of a WPA project. He was a WPA artist in the 30s. I believe that's when they were doing it.
Yep.
And he is very prolific. But he didn't. I don't think he did many oils. I think he did a lot of charcoal stuff after the 30s.
Yep.
And what's the scene of?
This is called The Squirrel Tree. Is the name of the painting. It's depicts a red-headed kid up in a tree trying to smoke a squirrel out of the tree. and the squirrel comes out a different hole. He's looking down at the kid trying to smoke him out, and he knows he can't do it.
That's pretty good. That's great. That's great.
The thing about the picture, though, is my dad and my mom grew up with Charles Banks Wilson.
No kidding.
And my father is the red-headed kid in the painting.
Oh, how cool.
Really?
How
that's cool. So cool. That's good.
Yeah.
Now, he died about a year ago. Charles Banks Wilson died in May of 2013. So it hasn't been gone long, and that's hard to figure out values of these things when people take into account, you know, the fact that he, you know, is no longer painting or no longer has the ability to paint because he's passed away. And Leon and I have been doing some digging, and we don't see much in the way, like you said, of original oil on canvas.
Right. He did a lot of prints, and you can see the prints, and they're offered, anywhere from 100 to 800 or even more, and they're quite common. And, of course, they're all Western genre, but he was an illustrator, so I'm wondering whether or not he might have used something like this painting for a cover of a magazine or something. I know he illustrated books and novels. Do you have any history on it?
I don't have any history except for that. My mom and dad had it since the 50s, I imagine, because it's been around since before I was born.
Yeah, yep.
And so I don't know if it was ever used like that or not.
Yeah.
I knew he did some other things. Some other oils were displayed at the Gilcrease Museum in Tulsa
right.
at one point in time. And he had my mom loan that to the Gilcrease as part of that showing.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
That's cool.
And that was back in the 80s.
Late
80s, early 90s.
I saw where he had a bronze sculpture for sale. One of his sculptures are for sale. I found that on the internet. They were asking like $5,000 or $6,000 for it. For a sculpture, and I think it was an issue of like 40 of them. Brian and I are having a hard time finding an actual comps on paintings that have sold for him. We do have, we do know that there are a couple of galleries in Oklahoma that specialize in his work, and they advertise his work, but they generally don't advertise prices. What I'm going to suggest is that you probably contact, you know, some of those galleries and see what they're asking, and then tell them what you have. I'm thinking that he is primarily regional, in other words, the Oklahoma area, you know, in the West, but it's similar to Norman Rockwell's work, if you would.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very realistic, and it's got some kind of little novelty or quirk about it, you know, like the squirrel looking down at the guy trying to smoke it out. And, you know, Norman Rockwell's work, for a long time, people disregarded it because he was an illustrator for Saturday Evening Post, and they thought, it's not worth anything. And then all of a sudden, the last 10 years, it's exploded, and his value is through the roof right now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm thinking, gee, you know, we have something that might equate to that. That's why I would check out some of these galleries and see what's going on. Since he just passed away,
right, not to let it go, you know, but get a feel for what's going on. He illustrated a book by Frank Dobie called The Mustangs. Great illustrations of wild horses out on the plains, or with a mesa in the background, and that's probably what a lot of his work was. But I don't think there's a big catalog raisonné, meaning a big catalog of his painted works. And that will be something that someone might be interested in putting together.
Yep,
and you might go back to the museum that actually had this work and find out a little more about that. They may have a lot of research as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
We're not going to give you a number today because we don't want to make a big mistake.
Right. But I think you've got something good, though.
I understand. He did actually call my mom up at one point in time and try and buy it back from her for $10,000.
That's a good start.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's a good start. But she declined to take that offer.
Yep.
When he did it,
probably a good move.
Well, that's why.
Well, we hope so.
Yeah. Well,
We do have other ones that she. We all have all five.
Yeah,
of
I see. Mm-hmm.
Different ones, like the one you were talking about, the charcoal of a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I think my sister actually owns one of those.
Yeah.
Well, Brian mentioned a catalog raisonné, and what that is, a catalog raisonné is when someone compiles all the works of an artist, and they try to catalog them and inventory them, and so that all of the work of an artist is documented, and that when you go to buy or sell a piece later on, everyone relates back to that catalog. Now, whether or not there is one of him, we don't know. Chances are there might not be, but the fact that he just passed away, it's a good chance someone is thinking of doing that. So I would check with some of those galleries in your area and ask about that, ask about what they have for sale, tell them what you have, and I think that's going to get you to second base instead of first base.
There you go.
Okay.
And the other place to look is look down in the southeast. He went to Miami late in his life and actually died there. And there may be another place where you may find some more stuff about him as well. There may be someone who may have picked him up.
You may be thinking of Miami, Oklahoma.
Oh!
Miami, Florida.
Well, he says located in Miami. Oh, yeah. Okay, thank you very much. All right, you got it there. They didn't say the state; they just said Miami there. But they say it different out there, don't they?
It's Miami.
I'm sorry.
Oklahoma, yes.
You learn something new every day.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right.
They got it here in the GrandLakeNews.com, Delaware County Journal in Sun Grove, Delaware, and Miami. Okay, sorry.
All of those are in northeast Oklahoma.
Got it. Okay. They got it written as Miami, though, in here, too. Okay, well, I appreciate it. Sorry, but thank you. You know way more about it than I do, but I think you need to shop this one around.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for listening.
It.
Thanks for your call. You be well.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, I got put in my place, didn't I?
Usually I get put in my place.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So. I see Miami and I'm thinking Florida, but there is a Miami, Oklahoma, but it's Miami. So we stand corrected. Thank you all.
Well, I think, you know, he's very regional.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he has passed away and there's showings, I think it's going to increase in value.
I would think so, too.
I would do some work on that. That sounds exciting to me.
Great.
Okay.
Right. Where do you want to go now?
Oh.
Oh, John wants to go to the Stumpers.
It's okay with me.
He's a good Stumper dude.
Now,
Dan, our summer engineer, went to get the mail, and he hasn't been back in like 3 hours.
Yes.
I think he got lost. Oh, he's out there? All right. Should we bring him back in?
No, we locked the door. Oh. That's why.
That's good.
Oh, well.
Okay. So he's been waiting out there. Oh, that's right. I can see his face smushed up against the glass here. Okay. Good deal.
Okay. Last week, it was a question about radio.
Radio.
And it was, what was the first world championship boxing match to be broadcast on radio?
You've been doing a series of radio things. You did the Nemo radio thing.
Yeah, right.
You know, I don't know. Let's go. Who are we thinking?
Dempsey Carpenter in 1921.
No kidding.
1921.
Hence the need for very good sportscasters to call the fight.
That's right.
It's a left jab. It's an uppercut. Oh, he takes one to the stomach.
Okay, Stumper, this week, we're going to change tunes. We just talked about art, so we're going to give you an art one.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what American artist seldom signed his work?
Yeah.
Saying it was not necessary to attach a signature, quote, because my work is all over it. Unquote.
Oh, please. Oh, my gosh.
Is that easy?
No, he's just an obnoxious artist.
Right. I thought I gave it away.
No, and I thought, geez, I didn't know.
Who
the heck do you think you are? Oh, excuse me.
That's exactly right.
We should just call the show Value This, because we don't have to say Brian and Leon because our work is all over it.
That's right.
Is that right?
Okay. So you email us the answer, theuglyguys@brianandleon.com,
mm-hmm.
and say, here's that artist.
Whoever it happens to be,
okay.
whose name is not all over it. Good.
Right.
All right.
Or go to our website, ValueThisRadio.com, click on Stumper, and that's another way to get to it and give us the answer.
All right. Liz says, the Punch figure from a while back is a comic character who wore a jester's hat and held a handful of cigars, a symbol for a tobacconist.
There you go.
All
remember,
right.
we asked about a Punch figure, and we said that it was a carved figure that was pulled out on the sidewalk for a store to advertise something.
Placed outside, could be purchased there. Tobacco could be purchased there. There you
and
go.
And it was either a cigar store Indian or a Punch figure.
Yep, there
and
you go.
And the reason was that people couldn't read, and so if you said tobacco, they wouldn't know what you're talking about.
Yep, there you go. That's good. Also, another mailbag coming in.
Okay.
Ray from Maryland says, when you get a song in your head and you keep hearing it, it's called an earworm. Remember we're talking about, what do you call that song that you can't get out of your head?
An earworm.
An earworm, for what it's worth. A WHFC listener out there.
Okay.
We're talking to people from KCCU today and KGOU Radio. People all calling in from all over the place. And from local WNTI. Someone just handed me a bunch of puns.
Oh, no. I've got to do those nine completely worthless collectibles.
Do we
have time? Yes.
Are we in the third segment already?
Yes, we are.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to do these real quick.
That's crazy.
Okay, and again, this was compiled by the website Daily Finance.
Oh, okay.
So don't blame Brian or I.
All right, good.
Okay? They said these are nine.
That's what they said. Okay.
And in no particular order.
Right.
Hummels.
Ooh.
And they said because all the people that collected Hummels are now older or gone or died, and none of the young people want them.
And they're all over the market.
Okay. Number two, Beanie Babies. We knew that.
Yeah,
okay.
I agree.
Number three, we just talked about Norman Rockwell. His paintings are wonderful. His plates are not. He didn't do his plates. Okay? Someone else did plates.
Yes.
So don't buy a Norman Rockwell plate. Buy a Norman Rockwell painting.
Got it.
Precious moments aren't so precious.
All right. What was the name of this website?
Daily Finance.
Thank you very much.
Daily
just making
Finance.
Sure we know we're just reading it.
It's not from us.
Good.
Franklin Mint Collectibles.
Okay.
They said they're only worth the salvage value of the metal that they're made out of.
Okay.
That's what they said.
Good. Very good.
Okay.
Okay.
Cabbage Patch Dolls.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of knew that as well, didn't we?
Yeah, okay. I'm kind of with you on that one.
I mean, we're kind of agreeing with them, but
on some of things we
on
are.
On some things, okay.
That's right. Let the lawyers handle the rest.
Now, here was an unusual one.
Yes.
Baseball cards.
Really?
And they said that because kids aren't collecting them like they used to. They're not into it anymore.
Yep.
So the contemporary cards, you know, we're talking like in the last 15 years, I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that.
Kids don't buy bubblegum. They don't buy cards. They don't care as much.
Exactly.
Okay. But the old ones are still good.
Good.
Okay. Yadro figurines. There's porcelain figurines from Spain. They're very nice and fancy. They cost a lot of money brand new.
Really?
But according to them, there was something like 10,000 of them on eBay for sale right now.
Yes, I agree.
So that's what they said. And then the last one they said, the ninth completely worthless collectible,
was,
according to Daily Finance.
Recordings of our show?
What, they didn't haven't heard our show yet.
Oh, well, they should.
Was Thomas Kincaid Prince.
Really?
Thomas Kincaid Prince.
The painter of light,
The painter of light supposedly has more than enough available on the secondary market that nobody wants.
Well, that's excellent.
Okay, so there you go. Completely worthless collectibles according to Daily Finance.
All right, our studio engineer and post-production supervisor is John. Where we're going for lunch? Del Rey, our executive producers are John, I'm the Boss Lewis, and Melanie Dawn Bertil. Special thanks to our producers, Nancy and Marilyn, and our Valueless Summer Engineer, Dan. Valueless with Brian and Leanne is a production of WNTI Public Radio from Centenary College. Support for Valueless comes from your local public radio station, from Maine Antique Digest, and from Project USE.
And here's the quote of the week, and it's too bad Dan is locked out of the room because it's a Yankee quote. We're going to leave him out there.
Okay.
And it's from Derek Jeter.
Yes.
Derek Jeter's last year.
Yes, it is. And he says,
the last thing you want to do is finish playing or doing anything and wish you would have worked harder.
Oh, very good.
That summarizes his life in baseball.
It sure does.
I wish it summarized our life on the radio show. But we keep trying.
That's right. We'll be back next week.
That's right. I'll value this. Take care. Bye-bye.